This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, what's shaking, everybody? It is a very late 2020 edition of the OBP, the Orange Bloods Podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum. This podcast is brought to you by our partners, JFQ Lending. They want to hook you up. Like, do your research, right? Like, ultimately, I'll never be able to just convince you to go with JFQ Lending just because you heard JFQ Lending. Do your research. Find out how badass they are. Go to jfqlending.com. Go check out the reviews on a Better Business Bureau. Do whatever it is that you need to do, right? Just know they want to give you a $500 add-on for like covering costs, and like they generally want to hook you up, so let them hook you up. JFQLending.com. Check out the website. Thank you for sponsoring. So look, the Longhorns win their final game of the season last night. They beat Colorado. I should even say this morning. When the hell did that game end anyway? I guess technically in the time zone that it was played in, it ended just before midnight. I think that's about right. Didn't expect that. One of the things I said in the post game show, that we did on the Be Live show, brought to you by the Lowy Law Firm, was that you could have told me to write out 100 narratives that might emerge from the Texas Colorado game last night. And Sam Ellinger getting hurt like Colt McCoy style, and leaving at halftime and never ever potentially coming back with his uniform on in a Texas uniform ever again. Like, it was unfair. It was excuse me, quick. I didn't even notice on the, what was it, like a 66-yard run that Bijan Robinson had to open up the second half, which was funny. There, again, the storylines, I would not have guessed them. That some of it was just chef's kiss perfect. And Casey Thompson comes in and does what he does in basically 20 minutes, less than 20 minutes. I think Hudson Card, if my memory serves me correct, he comes in at like the 10:30-ish mark of the fourth quarter. So Casey Thompson didn't play 20 minutes, threw four touchdowns, posted like a 7,000 quarterback efficiency number. The Longhorns win by 32 points. And I got to be honest, like, I didn't know. When Anwar and I started yesterday, it was impossible for me to think about I had been saying all along, whatever happens in this game is not going to impact the decision that Texas makes with its head coach, Tom Herman. As if you're listening to this podcast and needed me to outline that for you. Sorry, it's been like a week and a half since I've done a podcast, or at least by myself. So I'm like getting back into the swing of things. But we were getting ready to talk about all of the personnel things that happened in the game. And it was like, well, we can't ignore the thing that every single one of you listen to this podcast, like, sure, I'm sure you want my offensive line thoughts. Some of you, right? I know there's somebody out there that's like, catch, you played center, talk about Jake Majors. I'll do that. I'm going to get to that. But it felt like I used to have a section, the elephant in the room, every week in my column. I like to say the quiet things out loud. And the quiet thing, as soon as that game is over, even though it's not being talked about on the broadcast, the national broadcast, it's not really a narrative that exists anywhere nationally. This is very much a Texas internet underground talking thing that Tom Herman's out, that Tom Herman's in danger. It wasn't brought up at all in the game by Mike Golic. They didn't stop at any point in that game to say, well, you know, there's been a lot of talk that Tom Herman's not going to return next year. This should help. Or does it at all? Like, not even mentioned. And I've reached a point, and I kind of outlined this with my report and my 10 thoughts from the weekend just a couple of days ago, that depending on who you talk to, this Tom Herman job security thing for 2021 is at wildly different positions. There are people connected to the money at the university who are convinced 100% his ass is gone. I mean, we've heard it. We've heard so much of it from people that in our minds, we think they should know. God, they're not being misled. That would be bad. Don't want me mislead that guy or that gal. This just in, most of our sources are dudes. So sorry, I don't know why I let something so insignificant completely stray my brain away. But if you talk to sourcing inside the athletic department, close to Chris Del Conte's office, less bullish when it comes to the percentage that Tom Herman is gone. I don't know how to handicap that. I don't know. I put it like 50-50, right? Because there's this idea that if Texas could get Urban Meyer, or they could get Brian Kelly or Dan Mullen, like, I don't know. There's this mythical list, and I don't even know how deep it exactly goes, where if Texas could get that person, here's who I know is not on it. Mario Cristobal, James Franklin. In a different alternative universe, those dudes are on the list and possibly Tom Herman's replacement. They're not. Didn't have the season to justify it. Certainly not James Franklin. And so you're left in this situation where I'm trying to handicap what percentage inside the athletic department on a scale of 1 to 10. In my article, I was like, some people have it as a 10. Some people might be like at a 3 or a 4. And nobody was addressing this fucking elephant in the room right after the game was over. So I go to the Statesman this morning because I saw a tweet by Brian Davis. Excuse me for the cough. I click on the game story. I don't even know what it was that made Brian Davis's tease on his little Twitter machine. I don't know what it was that made me clicked on it, but I clicked on it. And, you know, just a post gamer. And I think that was probably it. It ended. One of the things that Anwar and I didn't do really after we had to do the post game show. And it ended so late that quotes from players and stuff like that. And typically we're doing the post game show anyway. We don't make a big deal out of what coaches and, you know, what does Herman say after the game? And I don't really care what any of the players say. And I don't think most of you do either. No, but not once this season has, and it's changed the way that we cover post game stuff. It's important to be there, but what these kids and the coaches say, other than Herman, immediately after the game, it's just not really, it's not an Orange Bloods thing. Like, that's a newspaper thing. We don't even do gamers anymore because it's not the type of you guys want analysis from us. And so, you know, I'm pulling the curtain back a little bit here on how we do coverage. We don't do, if you haven't noticed, we don't do post gamers, but newspapers still do. And it's still a big part of, like, now the thing the Statesman will do is they'll send multiple writers to the game, and like Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles will write a column, and Brian Davis will handle the gamer. Just, you know, that's how they do it. That's how a newspaper typically, they'll have multiple reporters, and they'll be like, maybe sometimes there's a reporter who's got sidebars and do little notes and nuggets and stuff like that. People don't sign up to Orange Bloods for post-game stuff. They sign up to Orange Bloods for pre-game stuff. Because generally speaking, post-game stuff can be, you can get that on ESPN.com. I mean, the AP is going to do, you know, very few people read game stories and go, oh my God, that was the greatest game. Yeah, usually it's what editorial goes along with it that's memorable. So we often mostly focus on editorial stuff, but I found myself reading this Brian Davis game story. And in part because that game was so unusual, so unexpected, I kind of wanted to see what the player said in the aftermath. At the bottom of the article, second to last paragraph, Brian Davis has the following section. It says, and the reason why I'm reading this is because it was it. Thank you, Brian. Because I've been trying to get my head around, how do I explain what the hell the percentages are in this moment? And part of my confusion has been, well, has anything with Del Conte changed since that, the week of his endorsement, weekly worded that it ended up being, has he come around? Because the talk behind the scenes is that the big money, they want his ass gone, right? But Del Conte's office, his folks, his peeps, they've been getting the word out that like, no. In fact, when we were in Manhattan, like there was a, before the Urban Meyer answer was provided publicly, there were signs, the athletic department was going out of its way to say, hey, adults in the room here, FYI, $35 million-ish to change coaches and buyouts of other coaches and then to not have a guarantee on the box, not feeling that. But I don't know how you handicap that. So I'm reading the Gamer, and at the very end of Brian Davis's Gamer, he writes, quote, indeed, the long, by the way, Brian did a very good Gamer. Indeed, the Longhorns march on. The year wasn't how anyone inside the football complex drew it up, but 2021 looks constructive if you choose to see it as such. And this is the, I'm underlining this next part. And if athletic director Chris Del Conte has any say, Herman will still be steering the battleship. Sorry, I bungled that last line. Herman will still be steering the battleship. And if athletic director Chris Del Conte has any say, not his say, not some say, not the majority of the say, if athletic director Chris Del Conte has any say, Herman will still be steering the battleship. People, words matter. That sentence was not written the way that it was written by accident. And this is what I do. I say the quiet things out loud. I hope at the end of the day, when you guys, when I'm no longer on this earth, and people are deciding, what the hell did Jeff Ketchum bring to the table? Like, oh, really, what did he do? I just hope there's enough people that say, well, you know what he did? He rattled cages. He didn't do the status quo. He didn't play the pretend game. That's one of my, you guys have to be tired of me saying that. I don't play the pretend game. I don't stay quiet because I'm supposed to stay quiet. I don't talk if I'm, I beat to my own drum. And more times than not, I'm going to say shit that nobody else wants me to say. And I don't mean you. I don't mean the listener. I mean the people that I'm talking. Chris Del Conte, I promise you, does not want me doing a podcast talking about this out loud. I cannot ignore it. Where we are today is as simple as this. Chris Del Conte, if he has any say, is bringing Tom Herman back. That jives with the press release that he put out that was super weak, but it was super weak because the people, because the power money was like, you're not saying he's coming back. You better change that. Okay. Talks, and it's one of the reasons why when it wasn't sure what it was that Del Conte even meant, Del Conte specifically called Chip Brown back. The athletic directors, and I think, man, look, one of Kirk Bowles' tweets specifically said that Chris Del Conte called and confirmed out loud that Tom Herman, what his message meant was Tom Herman's absolutely coming back in 2021. Now, he could have written so that we all understood that, that Tom Herman's coming back in 2021. That's pretty emphatic. It was weird that he didn't go emphatic in the release, but then channels, sources some unnamed, Chip Brown got a text message from Chris Del Conte, who specifically told him, yep, what I meant was he's going to be the coach in 2021. Now, Chris Del Conte hasn't done a single interview in the last 6 months. He sure as shit hasn't gone on the record with anybody since that press statement to clarify. But there hadn't been any signs that he's unclarified himself either. And that's what I've been wondering. Okay, Texas is going into this game. I know what the majority of people, the one guy in the room from my sense that has his foot on the brake on all of this is Del Conte. But I've been asking people for weeks, like, because I've been sensing this, like, Del Conte's people are telling people, no change. He's coming back. He's coming back. It's not even an issue. Too much money. No coaching, you know, no obvious hire to make. But that, you know, I mean, I've been telling you guys this for weeks. Again, more stuff that I probably shouldn't be saying out loud, but I don't know how to tell you guys the story without telling you the story. So here we are. We're in a moment where if there is change, what we're watching Chris Del Conte very quietly do, and I am being very loud and saying, do you see this quiet stuff that Chris Del Conte is doing? I'm basically calling it out into the open. Chris Del Conte is and has set the stage. I'm not even going to say is. It's done. The stage is set. The stage is set. If Texas fires Tom Herman, and again, talk to the money will tell you it's going to happen. You talk to the AD's office, you get an Elmo shoulder shrug. To the point where now we're getting the, if Del Conte has any say, who's in charge? That's the biggest story of Texas athletics right now. Chris Del Conte is letting everybody know, if this shit blows up in Texas's face, like it did for Auburn, and they got lucky. Look, and look, I say they got lucky. There's a lot of people who are like, wait a minute, we fired Gus Malzahn, who's been to a national championship game, who's won an SEC. We got rid of him. He's beaten Alabama. No short feet. We hired the Boise guy who didn't win his conference this year. Okay. Like, I like the hire. I like Brian Harsin. But Auburn got turned down by a handful of people. They didn't get the one they wanted originally. And look, sometimes it works out. Pete Carroll historically, famously, was like USC's fifth choice. It's like Zach Thomas in the 5 foot, 10 inch linebacker. I mean, sometimes it can happen. I remember Dexter Coakley, 5 foot seven, played in the NFL. Hadn't seen a whole lot of 5'7" Dexter Coakley since then. And Dexter Coakley came around. It was like, oh, maybe this is opening for 5 foot, 7 inch. Or maybe Dexter Coakley was a bit of a fucking freak. And Zach Thomas, kind of a freak. And not every 5 foot seven linebacker is going to play in the NFL. That wasn't the sign of a trend. Same thing with Zach Thomas. Like, we didn't just start seeing a rash of these things happening. And sometimes it is a trend. But Del Conte is telling us that if this thing blows up, if Texas is in a situation where it ends up having to pay $35, $40 million to pay Herman's buyout and then to take care of the buyouts for assistant coach. Herb Hand has 2 years left on his deal. How did that happen? You got to pay $1 million at this point to get rid of Herb Hand. How did that happen? That isn't even getting into the coordinators. So if that happens, and then Texas is in a position where it has to make even a Tom Herman level hire. I don't even know who in the hell we would consider Tom Herman to be. Who's the 2020 version of 2016 Tom Herman? I'm not sure that guy even exists. Sark? Is that the guy? I mean, you know, kind of unproven as a head coach, thought of as a little bit of a wonder boy. That's what Texas thought they were getting in Tom Herman. You hire him, that is not a slam dunk. You are not getting a guarantee on the box. And what I'm telling you right now is if Texas does this, Chris Del Conte is setting the stage for every person in the country to know the BBs are out of the box. This was not my fault. Do not write this and say, this is my hire. Do not look at this and say, if it blew up, the decision to get rid of Herman, God, that wasn't very smart in retrospect. Don't blame this on me. That is what is, and I've been wondering for weeks. I've been like sniffing this thing out. I've been watching Del Conte quietly paint this picture. And I've been thinking, is he talking out of both sides of his mouth? And is this going to get his ass in trouble? Like, do the BMDs, do they know that he's doing this, that his office is doing this, that Brian Davis in his gamer would write something so emphatic? Let me say this. If I had written something about Chris Del Conte and implicated something like if he has, I'd have gotten a phone call, an email. Somebody in the media would have done Del Conte a favor and put me on blast. Like, that's the world I live in. If I had been so bold as to actually write, if Chris Del Conte has any say, what does that even mean if he has any say? He's the athletic director. That's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you. He's the athletic director. He has painted the picture. If I'm making the decision, Herman comes back. And he does not like Tom Herman. That's not what this is. He's undermined Herman for months. It's what makes all this so weird. It's what makes all of it weird. And again, I'm acknowledging the weirdness. I'm acknowledging the contradictions. I'm acknowledging the lack of some. This just doesn't make sense all the time, which is worrisome. And I've been like asking people, you guys, the AD's office is spinning a web of this. Is that making anybody mad? Nah, man. Same page. And I'm like, okay, they're on the same page. I don't think they are. That's what I'm saying. This is what the whole opening of this beginning part of the podcast. I know it's been a lot of time to get to this point, I suppose. I'm wordy. But I'm painting my picture. And in my picture, I want you guys, I'm not restricted to a word count. I want you guys to know exactly what I think is happening. Exactly what my perspective on all of this is. And if it means this ends up being an hour-long podcast, well, some of you will listen to it and some of you won't, but I will know. At least I will have explained myself in a way that I can't even do in a column. And I'm wordy in columns, right? I'll write thousands of words. It's not the same thing. That's one thing the podcast allowed me to do. It just lets me dig into this a little bit more, kind of freestyling it. So what we're going to find out, so the wrap up on the AD thing after all of that is this. There's still a movement for change, but it's the BMDs. Chris Del Conte is not an agent for change. Not at all right now. Not at all. The question I've been having internally in my brain is, would they make a move just to make a move? Because like I've said, they need to do something for recruiting. Like that's been my thing. I've been saying, got to make a change because anything is better than no change at all, because you got to be able to find a way to flip the momentum in 2022 recruiting. But would they do that to go get a Tom Herman level hire? Would you replace Tom Herman with another Tom Herman for $40 million? And I don't know. I still don't know. But what I do know is that at the center of this debate now is an athletic director that does not want to do this. And when the unofficial record will get out, Texas gets rid, and look, the BMDs may say, we don't care. We don't care. Who gets credit for the hire of Mack Brown? Tom Hicks. Tom Hicks was the one that was on the jet. Tom Hicks was the mover and the shaker. It was almost back in the day. It was as if DeLoss Dodds was like a pawn piece in all of that. You know, was it going to be Gary Barnett? Or was it going to be Mack Brown? And then ultimately, like, when it got decided who it was going to be, Mack Brown, it wasn't DeLoss that decided that. And the unofficial history books reflect that. when Texas fans get together and they talk about the good old days and how that happened, those of us that were around, we remember who was on the jet. We remember how that happened. We remember I'm pissed and I'm stunned. It's Mac Brown. We remember all of that. So I don't know that big money donors care at all if Chris Del Conte wants credit for this. They may say, give us the credit. That's what we want anyway. They may be like, look, you're damn right. We're going to go in and hire whoever we're going to hire, and then history will remember that we did this, not him. And that may be what happens. But if it's not, if the dude that Texas is paying $2 million for the next 7 years has any say, again, not my words, I've been wondering for weeks, how the hell do I phrase this in an accurate way? And instead, I'm going to let the Austin American Statesman do it for me. If athletic director Chris Del Conte has any say, A-N-Y-N-E, just for a second, I'm going to do this just to be completely clear. When I say that words matter, you know, sometimes, like I did the damn good thing with Shaka Smart and people lost their mind. And at the time, it gets into a subjective breakdown of how you look at the value of words. Just so you know, any, the definition of any is used to refer to one or some of a thing or a number of things, no matter how much or how many. Used as an express a lack of restriction in selecting one of a specified class. The pronoun of that is one or some of a thing or a number of things, no matter how much or how many. So on a piece of pie, think of it like this. Mama just made a piece of pie. Any means if you stick your finger, you don't have a slice. A slice could be any, for sure. But it could be as small as, hey, man, is anybody looking? I love me some pie crust. Let me just take a little. Nobody's even going to know. I got it. A little piece of that crust. Nobody's even going to notice. Oh, that tastes so good. That counts as any. You know what else is any? The whole pie. Did you have any of that pie? I did the whole thing. Oh, you had any of it. Uh-huh. Did you have any of that pie? I did. I had a slice. Had a slice of the cake. Oh, you did. You had any of the cake. You did. Did you have any of the cake? Yep. I took a chocolate chip off the top. Didn't have much, but I had the chocolate chip. You had any. What about you, Chris? Did you have any of the role in Tom Herman not coming back? I did not have any role. Because if I had any say, any, Herman would be back. If I had had a slice, he'd have been back. If I had a chocolate chip off the top, he'd have been back. If I had half the pie, that means he's coming back. If I eat the whole damn pie, you know what it means? Coming back. If I have no any of the pie, I don't know. That's on them. That's where we are. It is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Where we go, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I've told you. When it comes to what happens next, I think there's a bit of a power struggle for who gets to make that call. And if Tom Herman is fired, it won't have been Chris Del Conte's call. And there will be a little bit, I think, of a national thing of like the inmates are running the asylum at Texas. And I think Chris Del Conte will play a big role in that portrait being painted because he don't want this on his resume. He does not want the blood of Tom Herman being replaced without a mega hire. He doesn't want that blood on his hands. Not with all of the money, not during a pandemic, not all of it. Like, it's not his bag. Not it. I'm just letting you know. Okay, let's transition a little bit to the game. I know I went long, so like I won't go too long on the game. We will have the Orange Bloods modcast tomorrow. There'll be a lot of that there as well. Casey Thompson, holy smokes. I'm just going to go through position by position some quick thoughts on the game. Sam wins that game if he finishes it. And it is cruel that if that's the last time Sam Ellinger came back. Sam Ellinger came back as the only captain left out of seven. He came back because it was important that he finish what he starts. And the most ironic thing of all is that that didn't happen. It's cruel. It is Shakespearean cruel. And he had not been playing well. It felt like the coaches were trying to give Sam a moment. Like, yeah, Bijan Robinson could have had 400 yards rushing in that game. At halftime, he had less carries than Rashawn Johnson, who was averaging 0.2 yards per carry. He was averaging 20 yards a touch, and he was getting the ball he was getting the ball less. And, you know, they go up 14-0, and the coaches just decided as if they wanted the game to be close. Well, we got, whoa, Bijan's on his way to being the MVP. We can't have that. Tonight's supposed to be about Sam getting the MVP. So they just stopped giving the ball to Bijan. And Sam wasn't getting it done. Not unless he gave Bijan the ball. It wasn't happening. And the only time in the first half that it happened, he hits those two balls for big yards. And then he goes back-to-back sacks, one of which wasn't the line's fault. The third down sack, which they lost like 14 or whatever the hell it was. I mean, the line caved in. Really the only time all night that it happened. The other sack was like, Sam, just throw the ball away. Like, you don't have to lose 4 yards. You don't. There's a rule that allows you to just throw the ball towards the line of scrimmage, throw it out of bounds. You're outside the pocket. Like, you hit all of the right notes. You ain't got to worry about whether there's a person in sight. You are outside the pocket. Let her rip. And he just didn't play well. And then he doesn't come back into the game. And Casey Thompson comes in. And Casey Thompson throws a touchdown pass before it wasn't until Casey Thompson was throwing, because I didn't notice it. They didn't mention it when I'm watching it on television. I didn't notice that it was Casey that handed the ball off to Bijan. My eyes were on Bijan. And on the next play, he throws a touchdown pass to Josh Moore. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? What? Wait, where's Sam? Where's Sam? Did Sam opt out? Did Sam get tired of the game plan? Is Sam mad? Sam hurt? Sam's hurt? Sam's out for the rest of the game. Oh, Sam's out for the rest of the game. Like, it was like that. And Orange Bloods was a mess. Does anybody believe that Sam's actually hurt? So, I mean, I guess after Tylan Wallace opting out of the Oklahoma State game at halftime, after watching Derek King hurt himself with a knee injury, anything was possible, right? I guess. But Casey Thompson was out of this world good. He saw the field. You could make a case that in that one quarter of action, he saw the field better than Sam Ellinger has at any point this season. You could make a case that what he brought to the table opened up the all. And you can also, like, you can make cases that, look, Colorado didn't know anything about Casey Thompson. They didn't know how to defend him. They didn't really know what they were getting. They didn't know that he had that in him. They would have preferred Sam stay in the game because in this case, the devil you know, whole lot better than the one that you don't know. And they were, in retrospect, they probably going to be okay if Sam stayed. They lose, but Sam wouldn't have beat them 55-23. I don't know that Casey Thompson even plays in the game if Sam plays the whole game. I don't know what to completely make out of Casey Thompson because teams haven't game planned him yet. They don't know. We don't even really completely know yet what his strengths and weaknesses are. We know that behind the scenes, coaches have been lifting up Hudson Card and saying they think he's the guy, but Casey Thompson just played and he balled out. And it was super hella exciting. And from my perspective, I don't know that that means that Casey Thompson is definitely the Texas quarterback next year. I think it may mean that he starts the first game, though. Like, what he was able to do last night was put down one hell of a marker. And assuming Sam doesn't come back, which that whole thing was weird, in the postgame, if you didn't see the postgame ceremonies on the Longhorn Network after the game was over, Tom Herman didn't even mention Casey Thompson. He talked about Sam and the importance of Sam. And at one point, they flashed the camera to Casey, and he did have a look on his face like, but what about me? And Herman just didn't mention him. It was weird. I mean, he threw 4 touchdowns in 20 minutes. He was good. You might want to mention him, but it didn't really happen. Like, you know, I don't know that we don't even know if Tom Herman's going to be back. So what the hell does it matter at this point? But I don't know if they know what it is they even have in Casey. What does it mean? I don't think they know. What does that performance mean? Elmo shrug. They don't know. But, ooh, it's a hell of a possibility. Hudson Card will have to be really good for what he did last night to be overlooked immediately. So, assuming Sam doesn't come back, to me, that means Casey Thompson starts the season opener next year because of that. Or, my God, Hudson Card must be unbelievable. That's not a terrible problem to have. Casey Thompson made next season look potentially fun, because that's the thing. If you could forget about it for a second that some of you were rooting for Texas to lose because you wanted that to guarantee that Tom Herman would leave. And I get that. I'm a Sixers fan. I've rooted for some tank jobs. I'm just saying, I feel you. I do not judge you. Others will judge you. I don't judge you. But I know some of you were watching that game with mixed feelings. And I know some of you kind of were like, 55-23, what are we doing? They're going to fire a coach after he wins by 5 touchdowns in the bowl game? God, I get that, right? But there was also a component of, well, this is fun. Casey Thompson's really good. Casey Thompson's got a 374 quarterback efficiency number. At one point, it dropped from like 350 to 250. So he sucked. And then Casey Thompson was like, oh, an incomplete pass makes your quarterback rating drop by 100 points? Well, I'll just throw a long touchdown. Bam. What did that do? Oh, it's back up to 370. Good job, Casey. I mean, that was the most fun. That was more fun. From a pure eyeball standpoint, that was more fun than what Sam did against Georgia. And Sam was the best player on the field against a team that had a bunch of NFL dudes on that team. Like, Georgia's stacked. Colorado ain't nearly that good. But the Sam show, as good as he was that night, that wasn't as much fun. Fun. Like, walk away and say, God, I wish we could just watch 15 more minutes of that dude doing that. Just to see how much of it was real. Does it strike midnight on him? And like, is he Cinderella at the ball? Or is that just who he is? That's how fun he was. He was so much fun that I second-guessed myself talking about him like, he could be Gerard Hurd. This could be Cinderella. It could all be a mirage. But my God, what if it's not? And speaking of things that aren't a mirage, Bijan Robinson, he good. He good. That boy's good. Yes, he is. And he's officially the best player in this program right now. And I got to be honest, in 2021, forget about who the head coach is, forget about the offensive coordinator, what we saw of Casey Thompson in short supply and what we've seen of Bijan Robinson in the last couple of games. Yeah, man, that's something that you could talk me into being excited about the season opener next year. Casey Thompson gets a start, Bijan's back, everything else, just we'll figure it out. I'm excited to see that. I don't care who the head coach is. I want to see that. I wish Texas had a game next. This season ended with nobody wanting to watch the Alamo Bowl.
Oh, anybody even know the game's on tonight?
It's true. I wrote about it in my column on Sunday. There's a game Tuesday, FYI. People are like, how many people in the Texas fan base even know there's a game on Tuesday? Ready for this season to be over with. 20 minutes of Casey Thompson, and I'm like, can there be a game next week? Can they play Kansas? Kansas, get your COVID shit together. We got a game to play. We got to get to 8-3. You owe us a game. You owe us some bullshit. We play all the teams in the Big 12 except the shitty one. No. We want Kansas next week. That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to see Casey Thompson play again. It's like, oh, it's too bad. Sam has a shoulder surgery shoulder injury, not surgery. Don't you guys all panic and put it out. That was just hopefully not a Freudian slip. Like, hopefully he just got a little bit of a stinger and he's fine. Weird thing for Sam to have to go through, by the way, just so eerily spooky to Colt situation. But if Texas had a game next week, if Texas played Kansas next week, this is what I'm saying. That kid was so entertainingly good last night that if Texas played Kansas next week, I'd have my popcorn ready. Let's do it. When are they playing at? 2 a.m. in Topeka? I don't care. Anwar, pack your bags. We's going to Kansas. Click them red slippers. We don't have that. That is how good Casey Thompson is. He makes me wish that Texas football had one more game this season. And I don't know when the last time I felt that way at the end of a Texas season about a player. Maybe Osai last year. But when that season ended, I didn't think to myself, God, I wish they played Kansas next week. God, I'd love to. And Joseph Osai just finished a season where he's AP first team All-American. Like he's legit. That bowl performance last year, one of the best bowl performances by a defensive player that we have ever seen, ever, in college football. It was unprecedented in a lot of ways. And I looked it up. I tried to find performances. What he did last year was crazy. And I did not come out of that game thinking to myself, if only Texas could play Kansas and we could watch 60 more minutes of Joseph Osai. That's how good Casey Thompson was. He was so good. He makes me want to see the makeup game against Kansas. And weirdly, do you know who else? I want to see this offensive line again. Herb Hand cannot recruit a five-star out of a paper bag, but, he did a good job with this offensive line this year, and he did an exceptional job in the last few weeks of the season. They went to that game last night with Carrick at left tackle, Engelau at left guard, Jake Majors at center, Tyler Johnson starting his first, really playing in his first game of his career at right guard, Christian Jones right tackle. That should have been a disaster. And you know what? We didn't talk about them dudes at all. They gave up the sack that forced the long field goal. Other than that, Texas had like 9,000 yards of offense. At one point, Bijan had a hole to run through on that left side, that first 50-yard run on what was the opening drive they had. My big ass could have fit through that line. A Mack truck could have fit through that line. We could have all held hands and walked through that line. It was a big ass hole. And I hadn't seen a hole that big in a long time. And maybe Colorado sucks significantly, but they're 4-1. They weren't getting embarrassed in the Pac-12. And Texas made that offensive line with a bunch of babies. They manhandled people. And they manhandled people against Kansas State. That is two consecutive games where we've seen Jake Majors and Carrick play where they've been damn good. Damn good. I don't even think anybody argue with me about damn good there. They're all right. Not saying great. Not saying award winning, worthy, any of that stuff. I'm saying they were damn good. And you know what? The point totals. What did Texas score in the last two games? 123 points? That they didn't score those 123 on a bunch of special teams and defensive touchdowns. Offense scored some points with the babies on the offensive line. I'd like to see them again. I want to see that same offensive line another time. Because I need to know, did Colorado really suck that bad? Or is this group for two consecutive weeks now, Jake Majors and Carrick and those guys, Herb Hand deserves some damn credit. I can't believe I'm saying it out loud, but he coached one hell of a job. He did. Can't recruit himself out of a paper bag. Probably shouldn't put him in charge of a recruitment for a big-time offensive line prospect, but get him on campus, and he's done a good job the last couple of years, especially this year. Especially the end of the year. I've been saying all year, this offensive line could not sustain a single injury and survive. And at the end of the year, the two best players got hurt and the line got better. Seriously. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how Derek Kerstetter and Sam Cosmi either got hurt or opted out. And these kids that hadn't played before came in, and not only could you not, they didn't skip a beat. I saw holes in the run game yesterday that I hadn't seen all season. And I don't know if, I can't remember the last time I saw a hole as big in the run game as the one that they opened up for Bijan in the first quarter. My God. I'll go back. I'll take a picture of it. I'll tweet it out. It is worthy of seeing a second time. Because when I tell you that we could have walked through there holding hands, I'm talking like 10 of us. Swinging our arms. It was a big asshole. Over on the defensive side of the ball, credit to Chris Ash for getting them dudes ready to play. I thought they would, you know, I did not. The Colorado quarterback, second team all Pac-12, that didn't make any sense. His numbers did not scream second team all Pac-12. Texas made them one-dimensional, which is why I picked Texas to win the game. I thought they would stop the run well and that Colorado wouldn't be able to throw the ball. I didn't think that Texas would dominate them. And I know that, and honestly, I think the biggest detraction for Casey Thompson is that the Colorado quarterback comes in and kind of does to Texas what Casey, not quite on the level that Casey Thompson did, but Colorado's backup quarterback comes in. It's kind of the same deal. A little bit better runner. Not really sure what his strengths are in the passing game, and he's kind of letting it rip a little bit more than you would have thought. They don't have any playmakers at all at Colorado. My God, other than the running back, and Broussard is good. You know, there wasn't anybody on the Colorado offense that I was like, oh, man, if Texas had that guy. Just didn't see it. But he played well, and he scored if he doesn't play, Colorado doesn't score three touchdowns. So, you know, the Texas defense, I thought, played really well. And I don't hold it against them that the backup quarterback came in a 32-point blowout and made some plays. You know, his situation where they made plays late really was they made one series in the first half that really led to anything. And even then, the touchdown, you know, the hair on their chinny chin chin. Again, Broussard, that was an incredible effort. Beyond that, like, a lot of it was garbage time stuff. Texas did the damn thing. And the defense, I thought, was really good. And I think you could mention every guy on that defense. And I know I spent a lot of time on the offense. Overshown looked like could be a future All-American. Like, he is starting to turn into – he was the best player on the field for that Texas defense yesterday. Texas missed Osai from a pass rushing standpoint. They are going to struggle to get to the quarterback rushing four. But the secondary played well, and they stopped the run. And that'll give you a chance. They have got to figure out where they can get a pass rush. But the rest of the makings of that 2021 defense is really good. Shout out to Jalen Ford. He plays the first half because Juwan Mitchell is suspended. He was really good. He should not have been that good. Hadn't played all year. In that moment against that team that runs the ball with that running back, for him to play as well as he did, to be sideline to sideline, to be active at the point of attack and not pushed around, shout out to him. I mean, I just thought everybody played well. Everybody played so well that Alfred Collins made that play, and I'm just now mentioning it for the first time. That's when I talk about 100 narratives that I could have written, and this not being the one that I would have picked, hard for me to imagine that Texas Casey Thompson would be so good that I would have forgotten about that Alfred Collins interception for an hour. So look, we'll do more of this in the modcast tomorrow. I wanted to do a post-bowl game podcast where I just kind of spewed out words. I've done that. Thank you for listening. We'll talk more. I'm sure this will generate some feedback. You guys have a good rest of the day. Later.